This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, that's Robert and Liz Cruz with In the Gap Ministries, one of the ministries that we help support here at Bridges as we're trying to reach the world as God opens new doors for us. We were able to go visit with them a couple of years ago, take a team out and do a VBS and get to see the house they were talking about and meet the young lady who graduated. What a great thing. So each week as we go through this period, we're going to show videos to introduce you to some of the things that God is doing around the world to reach people and to allow them to know Jesus, to build that relationship, people that are loving on others. And so we're excited about that. So we wanted you to see that video. And Robert and Liz, if you're on, great job. I appreciate you guys so much. We hope that you will come here so we can see you. And we hope to get back out there to you guys as well soon. If you have today your phones, take them out wherever you have your app. Take that out. If you haven't gotten it yet, go to your favorite app store, download the Tithely Church app, look for Bridges Church. There under Worship Experience, you can find the tile. Click on that. You can find the message notes for today, a place to fill in the blanks as we work through it, a place to write thoughts, and especially a place to put your applications. What is God telling you to do as we continue to work through this? So go ahead and get that app ready. While you're doing that, a thing we're going to try today, we did it after first service, I thought was really effective, is we're going to connect with people. So if you want to meet us, we're calling this After Service Connect with the Pastors. If you're new to Bridges, want to get to know the pastors here, we'll be on the Zoom call as soon as the service is over. If you want time of prayer, we'll be there to pray with you. Just need someone to answer questions for you, we'll be there for that as well. So we're going to pin that on the comments section. So after the service, just click on that. We'll be there for you and just see what you're looking for and just want to connect. We want to say hello, so I hope that you'll do that. And then today, we're continuing our series called More Than Conquerors. This is week 6, and if you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to flow into verse 19, so have that ready. It's been, I was thinking this later, it's been a while since we've actually met together. This is week 11 that we've been online, so some of you guys have been there every single week, that's awesome, but 10 weeks without anybody in the room. Right now, there's probably 7 of us in the room just doing the tech stuff, and you've been at home. And I'm going to tell you the truth, after so many weeks of this, the days start blurring together. I don't know about you, I'm a little tired of not being able to go out, even though we've lifted some of the restrictions here in North Carolina. It's still not easy. There's hard to get out. It's hard to do things. It's hard to know who to be around. Our cases have been going up this last week as they're doing more testing, and so that's a little worrisome. COVID-19 has hit some of the families we know, so that's been worrisome too. And so a lot of people are just tired, and you're a little bit weary, and I understand that. And as we wrap up this series today, we want to talk about and see what can God do in our lives in those situations. Specifically today, we're going to look at an individual's life that God reached at a really difficult time in his life, a time where he was down, a little defeated, and maybe you feel that way as well, and God lifted him up, and God added some things in his life that he needed to find. This series we're calling More Than a Conqueror is about rising above our situations and our circumstances and finding new life in Christ, and exactly what this person found. When you look at the Bible and look at the miracles of the Bible, you'll see they're kind of really settled in 4 different parts of our Bibles. One's the very beginning in Genesis, where God created everything. He spoke it into existence. That's probably the biggest miracle that we see early on in the Scriptures. And then it moves to the time of Exodus, where we have God working through Moses and Joshua to free the people of Israel and then move them out into the Promised Land. And then you have the time of the prophets, specifically 2 of them, Elijah and Elisha, in their life. And the 4th situation is Jesus and the early apostles and how God worked through those individuals and Jesus working as well to do miracles. Today I want to look at one of those people, specifically a man named Elijah. Again, the time of the prophets, a man that God used to do extraordinary things, a man who went to the mountaintop, I think, and then immediately followed into a valley. If you're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18, you'll see his life, just some of the highlights there, some of the big things God was doing through his life, and some of the things that I think maybe wore him down a little bit as well. First of all, you see him prophesy about a drought. 3 years, they were going to go through difficult times. I don't know what 3 years of this would look like. I can't even fathom that. But to know that you're going to go through a drought for 3 years where food would be scarce must have been very difficult. And then we see that there was a family that Elijah ministers to. There's a mom and her son. She's a widow. She doesn't have anything. And so God works through him to make sure that she had flour and oil for to be able to make bread. And it just would never run out. And God was taking care of them. And then the widow's son dies. And we see that Elijah brings the son back from the dead. It's just an amazing story to see this happen. And then we see that Elijah is used by God to do different things from there. He confronted the king of Israel, who was a king named Ahab at the time, and really confronted him on the fact that Israel had walked away from God. They had turned to other gods, specifically a god named Baal, which means Lord, and another female goddess named Asherah. And between the two, they had over 850 prophets that they would lead the people to worship these gods. And so Elijah confronts Ahab. They have a conflict going, and then Elijah says, well, let's figure out who their true God is, and he sets up a contest, a one-day kind of thing where he calls the other prophets to call on their God, and so they do all kinds of things to get their God's attention. They cut themselves. They cry out. They're just going all through this emotional stuff, and nothing happens, and Elijah kind of taunts them, says, well, maybe your God's asleep. And nothing happens. And then it's Elijah's turn. If you remember this story, Elijah rebuilds the altar of God by himself, and he then puts the wood on there. He takes a shovel and digs a trench around it, and then he goes back and forth getting water. He gets these buckets full of water, pours it over the altar, makes it all wet. He takes a bull, sacrifices himself. He cut it up himself and put it on the altar. And then he cries out for God to send fire. And God does that and meets him right there. Pretty amazing experience. Elijah used that time to preach to everyone, tell them who the true God is. They had some repentance, some conversions. But can you imagine the emotional just energy that it takes for Elijah to do all this? And he's pretty worn out. And then he goes and climbs a mountain because they're in the drought. And he cries out to God and he prays over and over for God to bring rain back because it's time. And he just prays until this happens, and we see the rain come, and so Elijah comes down off the mountain. He finds out that King Ahab is going to a town 15 miles away named Jezreel, and Ahab's going in a chariot with horses, and Elijah takes off running. I think he took a shortcut, but anyway, he ran and beat Ahab to this town. So he's got all this emotional energy, all this physical energy that he's burning. And then something happens. He goes from the mountaintop of this battle against these prophets. He goes to the mountaintop of praying down rain. And then he goes into a valley emotionally because Ahab's wife, Jezebel, is upset because the prophets that she was behind, the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Asherah, they lost this battle. They were killed because of this. And she sends word to Elijah saying, "You're next. What happened to them is going to happen to you." And even though Elijah knew God, he'd seen God do some amazing things, it just took this one thing to collapse his world. This one comment from this queen just drove him to a point where he just wanted to quit, just wanted to give up. It was just too much for him. And we look at that and go, yeah, I've been there before. Maybe you've been there before where you're on the top of the world, everything's going great. And then the next thing, just one little piece of news, one bad thing happens, and you're down at the bottom. It happens to people. But then God had something for him to do. Elijah left that area, took his assistant with him, went to the edge of their country, a place called Beersheba, a border town. He left his assistant there. And then we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, what happened next when God needed to reach out to him. It says this, "But he, Elijah himself, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" Elijah had been a conqueror. Elijah had been on top of the world. And now with all this stuff happening, he goes off by himself. And he prays this, "I'm done. I'm done. I want to be like my ancestors who've already died. Their suffering is over. I want to be like them. I'm just so weary. I'm just so tired. I'm just so worn out." Because everybody gets to that point, right? Everybody at some point gets to the point where they're doubting. where they're just weary, they're tired, they want to see something new happen. I talked to my neighbor the other day. I said, how are you doing through all this? She said, I'm just bored. I'm bored. I'm ready for this to be done. And I think we can feel that way sometimes. But sometimes we get a little further down that road where a relationship may have fallen apart or the dreams that we have aren't happening anymore. And we're kind of like this. We go and we say, I'm done. The thing about it, though, is at least Elijah's wise about it. And he goes to God. He doesn't pray a very pretty prayer, right? I mean, it's not a lot of words. He simply says to God, it's enough. This is how I feel, God. I feel like I'm done. And that's the best prayer we can pray sometimes. It's just that honest prayer. It doesn't have to be flowery words. It just be, this is what's in my heart. God, I'm done. I'm worn out. But at least he took it to God and not somewhere else, because God has the answers. God knows what's next. God is there to help us. And Elijah, I think, in some way fell back on this. Because Elijah had some holes in his life. Some things that he needed in order to become a conqueror again, in order to do what God's asked him to do. And there's three things that Elijah needed that I think we're going to look at today. Maybe there are three things that you need. Three things that you need God to do in your life. And maybe you've gotten to that point where you're done with this virus. You're done with the way it's upsetting your life. Or for any other reason, you're just tired and looking to God. So there's three things that God puts in his life, and we're going to work through those. They're on your outline if you have it. The first thing that he needed, and that we all need, is that becoming more than a conqueror requires rest and recreation. Rest and recreation. And I love the word recreation, because it's really the word recreation. We need to start over. We need to find something new. We need to have that burst of energy that we used to have. And sometimes it's just rest and recreation that we need. If you continue with the story, and we read it from verses 5 and 6, it says, and he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. It's interesting, in all this going on in his life, God just said, let's get down to the basics. What do you need? You need a nap and you need a snack. And I have heard, though I don't think this is true, I have heard this is where angel food cake comes from, but I don't know. But I do know that what Elijah needed was just rest. He was worn out. He had climbed a mountain. He had run 15 miles. He had been to a mountaintop experience. He had confronted people, which takes a lot of energy, and he was completely worn out, and he just needed rest. And God said, let's do this first. You need to rest because you have a soul inside of a human body. And your body gets tired, and your mind gets tired, and you need to rest, because Elijah was simply an ordinary person. And like any normal, ordinary person, we need to rest. One of the things that's interesting about this time is that people are worn out. Have you noticed that? They said that people aren't sleeping well, and they're staying up later, and they're sleeping later, but they're not sleeping well. They're waking up in the middle of the night. I've talked to several friends that are dealing with that, and they just can't rest. They just can't rest. And there's all kinds of fatigues that are coming out of this. Maybe you've heard of them, like decision fatigue. There's so many decisions we have to make, and they're uncertain decisions, like trying to decide what to do in the future when you don't know what's going to happen in the future, where you're trying to make decisions that will affect your family or affect your work, and you don't know how it's going to affect, and you have to make these decisions, or you're in a position where you had to lay somebody off, or you're in a position where you had to cut something back, you're in a position you had to cut a vacation. And it's just those decisions, constant decisions, where you never get a break, that's wearing people out. I have my phone on me constantly, and I'm constantly looking at things that require a decision, and your minds get tired. My mind gets tired. And there's not just decision fatigue, there's Zoom fatigue. We're not used to staring at a computer and looking at people in the eyes. If we're in a regular meeting, when we're gathered together, you would be looking off, you'd be eating a snack in front of you, just relaxing. But because of Zoom, we're staring at other people. But before we stare at other people, we stare at ourselves. Have you been on a Zoom call where somebody gets on, the first thing they do is straighten their hair? I've been that way. And we're not used to seeing ourselves, and we look at that and go, I don't really want to see myself. And so sometimes I've been on Zoom calls where the person's just off the screen. You can't see them, you can hear them, but they're just off the screen because they don't want to be seen. But looking at someone's eyes, looking at a computer screen for an hour, hour and a half, is hard. Some of you guys are experiencing this right now. It's not the same as being there. So you can look away. I can't see you. You can do different things. But it does tire us out. And then this week, I heard of a new kind of fatigue, caution fatigue, kind of way of looking at this. There was a professor at Northwestern University. Her name is Jacqueline Gollin. And she coined this phrase, caution fatigue. It's a cocktail of stress, anxiety, isolation, and disrupted routines. Others are out of rhythm. And it wears us out. And then there's the fact that some of us are introverts, and we get our energy from being around, or not being around people, by being by ourselves, and now there's people in our house, so we're not getting rest then. And then there's support extroverts. You guys are the ones that suffer the most, right? You get your energy from being around people, and now you're told you can't be around people, and so you just don't know what to do, and so that's where you get your energy. So you're tired, everybody's worn out. And here's the deal. It's okay to rest. It's okay to rest. In our culture, I think we feel guilty about resting. Ask somebody what you've been up to, and before this, they would have said, well, I've been busy. We almost feel guilty if we don't say that. I've been busy. I've got things going on. We don't want to say, hey, I just had a nap, but I feel really good. But that's okay. Taking a nap is okay. It's a very spiritual thing. God thought rest was so important that he created a whole day for it. It's called the Sabbath. It's in the Ten Commandments. Take a day of rest and don't feel guilty about it. Just rest. And here's the deal. Some of you right now are, you know, it's after, you know, after mid-morning, it's late morning, but you're still in your pajamas or you're watching from bed. I'm going to say this to you. Good job. You're doing exactly what we're talking about. Resting. Resting your soul. Just letting God speak to you. That is so important. And not just rest, but recreating ourselves, getting out, walking in nature, listening to the creation that God has made. Sometimes about doing a hobby. It's about doing anything to get our minds off and of the world and just kind of resting and recreating. Today, maybe your application is simply this. I'm going to take a nap and I'm going to eat a snack. And that's a very spiritual thing to do. That's what Elijah did. He rested, he took a nap, and he ate a snack because he needed to keep going. It said after he did this, he ran another 40 days, or he went another 40 days. I don't know what was in that angel food cake. I think it was more like a power bar or something, but it had energy in it. And now he was ready to go to the next step that God had for him, 40 days further in the wilderness, because he needed something else. And the second thing that he needed, that we all need, to be more than a conqueror requires relational connections. Relational connections, because Elijah had cut everything off and everybody off. If you go back to the story and look in 1 Kings 19, 9 and 10, it says this. Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. Well, he traveled for 40 days, and he came to a place that we know of as Mount Sinai. It's listed as Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai has two peaks. And he's come to this place where God spoke to Moses, and I think he's looking for answers. And he's arrived at this place all by himself, and he finds a cave, and he crawls into it. And it says in the scripture, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Next verse, Elijah says, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the only one left. Have you ever felt like that? You're the only one pulling your weight. You're the only one really seeking God. You're the one that really gets it. Nobody else does. No one else is really worshiping the way that you worship. No one else is diving in the Word. No one else is doing what God's asked you to do. No one else is living it out. We get that point sometimes. God reminds Elijah, hey, there's a lot of other prophets. You just didn't see them. There's a lot of people following me. They were my remnant. I've kept them safe. But Elijah had cut himself from all of that, including his assistant, which he left behind. He isolated himself. And isolation is not a good thing. And it got to the point where he simply says, and I only am left. It's just me, and I don't have anything else. God created us for connections. God looked at his creation when man was by himself, and it says not good for man to be alone. If you look at the Trinity, and we were created in the image of God, and what does that mean? If you look at the Trinity, we see that God is in three people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On the Reveal study that we've taken twice now, this is a thing that we wrestle with as a church. They'll go through all the beliefs. We hit high on all of them except for the Trinity for some reason. Maybe it's the way it's worded. We say we don't get that one. And I admit it's a mystery. I don't fully understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I do know this, they're one. God in three persons. They are one in thought. They are one in action. They are one in love. They are one in purpose. They are one. They are interrelated. And when God made creation, he made human beings, he said, I made you in my image. You need connection. You need to be with other people. You need that interaction. You need people to encourage you and build you up. If you look at the life of Jesus, when he was on this earth, he had good friends. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he would go over to their house and just hang out with them. He enjoyed their company. He enjoyed just listening to them. When you look at him dealing with people like Matthew and another one named Zacchaeus, what did he do? He went to their house just to hang out with people. And then, of course, Jesus had his 12, his followers, and he hung out with them and went everywhere with them. And then he had his three, James, John, and Simon. He spent time with them. And Jesus is modeling for us the fact that we need relationships. And when we don't have them, we're not healthy. That's why at Bridges, from the time we first started, we established small groups. Smaller groups of people that gather together to encourage one another, hold each other accountable, be in the Word, and pray for one another. And we just wrapped up our kind of our winter-spring session, but this summer we're going to start a new session. It starts here in June. We sent out an email on Friday, another one this morning, and I'm so excited every time I get a little notice that said someone is interested. And we're going to collect that list. We're going to send out an email to you just saying here's what time works. It's all going to be online this time. We're going to do it through Zoom. We're going to be studying the book of Jonah. I'm really excited about this. And we would love for everybody at the church to be connected because we can do it through Zoom and open up different avenues for you to get involved and help you meet new people and study the Word and be encouraged. If you did not get that email, if you don't see that, maybe you're not on our email list. We've added a lot of people. Do this right now. Just either put it on the card. You can find a Connect card in the Experience Worship tile in the app. Or just email us at info@bridgeschurch.net saying, here's my email. I'm interested in small groups. We're going to talk to everybody, connect with them, figure out which night works better for them, which time. And we'll send you out instructions. We'll start that early June. We'd love to have you involved because you need to be connected. A way you can be even further connected is something called a D group. It's like spiritual mentoring where you pair up with another person, maybe a little further in their walk with Jesus. Sometimes they're groups of two or three where people are on that same journey. We'll have a mentor contact you after we've collected some names, and then they'll say, where are you? We'll help determine where you are spiritually, what you want to look at a little, to go a little further. And then we'll start those groups up through Zoom and through other technology that we have available to us and just say, let's grow together because we need that. Elijah cut himself off from people, and it caused him to want to get to the point where he was done. And God's explained that to him. This is not what life is about. You're not alone. You're not alone. But then God wanted to take him a little bit further. If you continue with this story, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, it says this. God said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him saying, and it's the same question, but this time maybe a little different emphasis. What are you doing here, Elijah? I love this part of the story because God knew exactly what Elijah needed. First, God gets his attention, right, through a heavy wind, through an earthquake, through fire, natural catastrophes. These big events in life, they grab our attention, don't they? I mean, things that we normally wouldn't pay attention to, God goes a little bigger and says, look, I'm here. I want you to pay attention to me. But God wasn't in those. He was in something that's described as a low, soft whisper. The original language says, in thin silence, thin silence. I love this idea that God showed up between the area between heaven and earth. Heaven and earth was really thin right there. God came to meet with Elijah. Why a whisper? Here's what I think. I think when someone whispers, it draws you close. You start to lean in, right? You're trying to listen. And so they're whispering, they draw you close. So here's what I want you to do. If you're watching with someone else that you're close to, you can't do this with anybody, sometime during this message or maybe right now, just lean in close and whisper in their ear and see if they don't like kind of get the chills a little bit. There's something about a whisper. It draws you together. Parents do this with their children, don't they? They just whisper to them and they bring them close and hold on tight. God was doing that with Elijah, and he's saying, I haven't gone anywhere. I want to connect with you. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. And why are you here, Elijah? Let's talk about it. I think God wants exactly the same thing with us. I think that's why a quiet time with God is so important. Spending time in his word and just listening to him. Spending time in prayer. Spending time in silence. Walking and just listening for God's still, quiet voice. That thin silence. And as you walk with God and just listen, it just makes all the difference knowing he's there. His presence is there, and he hasn't forgotten you, and he's right there with you, and he loves you, and he cares, and he wants to be your father. Last week, I did a funeral. It was a very difficult funeral in the sense that the person who passed was very young, and they died under difficult circumstances, and they had lived a kind of difficult life. In the family, it was the second son to die in less than a year. And it was really difficult in the sense of how do you bring comfort? How do you bring God's love? How do you bring God's presence? And in COVID-19 situations, we couldn't have any kind of service in the funeral home. So it all had to be at the cemetery, but it couldn't be around the grave. You were only allowed to have three people around the grave from the family. So there was a gazebo set up, and it was filled with people. And most of them only spoke Spanish, so there's another barrier. And the grief of the family was unlike any grief I've ever seen before. It was deep, deep grief. It was uncontrollable grief. Certainly understandable, but uncontrollable. It came to the point where we were supposed to have the service, and the funeral home people were being very polite. We were saying, we need to get started. But I went to the family and said, we don't have to do this if you're not comfortable, if you just need your time. And then they, after a few moments, they said, okay, let's try it. And so we gathered together in this gazebo, and I had someone from our church step up to be a translator for me. And I began to speak, and as I began to speak, you could see people listening out of politeness, and they were staring off, and it was going, I think, well, at least they were paying attention. And then my translator turned, she turned and says, I'm drawing a blank, my mind is blank. I think the emotional part of it got to her. The difficulty of translating was there as well. And so we looked around. There was another young lady that stepped up and said, I'll do it. She didn't know all the words, though. She would get lost for words. So it was kind of like crowdsourcing this talk. And I would speak, and somebody would yell out, here's what the word is. And so together, we worked together for this time. And everybody gathered to help the family. And then I wanted to share with them Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms ever written. And as I began to read it, the original translator, the one who is part of our Bridges family, she jumped back in. I don't think she was translating from that point. I think that at that point, she was simply reciting it. She knew it in her heart. And she said it with a different strength than she had before. There was a strength of, this is God's word, and I know it, and I've fallen back on it. And it's really changed my life. You could just feel the difference. And here's what I read. You know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's there for me, right? He takes me to places of peace. He leads me beside still waters. And then the next verse, he restores my soul. It was somewhere in there that you could feel a change coming over everyone. The Spirit of God was there. It's so hard to describe the difference. I mean, before there was anguish and there was brokenness and there was wailing and it was very tense and we had people from all kinds of backgrounds and then the cultural barrier. But at that point, you just feel the presence of God and things changed as God was there bringing his peace and his comfort and his presence and his whispers. So as we went through there, things changed and it was a powerful time. If you ask me what I said, I have no idea what I said from that point on. I closed my book and just allowed God to speak. And there's something amazing about that. It doesn't happen every day. It happens when we're desperate for God, when we just need him so deeply. It'll happen when you cry out to God. It won't hear a voice necessarily, but the presence of God. Just being in tune with God and listening and hungering for him makes all the difference. We need relational connections. We need to be tied into people who can help us. We need to be tied into God, especially during those times when we're weary and we come off the mountain, we're down in the valley, and God shows up. And then there's no questions about his existence. There's no questions about his love. It's just his Spirit overwhelming us. And that's what God does. And it's what he did for Elijah, because God knew that Elijah needed that. The third and final thing that I think that Elijah needed that was required for him to become more than a conqueror, the third thing is a real sense of purpose. I think Elijah lost his sense of purpose after the mountaintop experience, after the rain came. And when he was confronted by Jezebel and threatened by Jezebel, I think he lost all sense of purpose and got his eyes on her and her threats instead of what God had him to do. And God kind of pulls him back together during this experience on the mountain. And he says to him in verses 15 and 16, the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And we look at those three things and we go, okay, that must have happened really quickly. But no, this was the rest of his life. These were a huge thing he was going to do. He's going to make two new kings. He was going to anoint them and prepare them to lead these countries, including Nimshi, who was going to take over for Ahab. And so there was a lot of work he had to do. He had to travel to get there. He had to meet these people, be part of their life, and then anoint the kings and get them started. And then not only that, he was going to train and mentor a new prophet. A prophet who would be twice as successful as he was. There was a lot to do, a lot of people to pour his life into. Now he had a purpose, and now he had a reason to go on, and sometimes that's what you need. I think this time is like a reset in our lives. I've already heard about people examining their lives and going, man, I don't want to go back the way I used to be. I don't want to go back to that person who was so busy, I didn't have time for God, I didn't have time for church, I didn't have time for my family. They're reevaluating careers. They're reevaluating the way they treat people and the way they look at people. This week, I had a former student of mine when I was a teacher in California. She contacted me. She was telling me how her mom is now getting their family together on Zoom calls every 2 weeks. Her mom's being this connector, and they're connecting with family they haven't connected to in quite a while, and it's a positive thing. It's a good thing. Maybe that's what God wants for you. He's given you a new purpose. Be the one who forgives old hurts. Be the one who brings people together. Maybe God's calling you to do more volunteer work. I've already seen that where people are saying, I'll step up and help. I'll help in our community. We've seen new ministries start in our community, including one we were able to partner with on Friday night. It's called Families to Families, and it's a cool thing where one family's buying food for another, and we were able to give out these baskets of food, these bags of food, and boxes of food. A lot of food went out to these families, and someone just thought of that, and they made it happen. And maybe God has something like that for you. And maybe it's a time to pray and go, God, what is going to come of this in my life as we reevaluate where we are? I saw this story a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you saw it. It's a story of Captain Tom Moore. Have you seen this story? He's a World War II vet. Lives in London, and his 100th birthday was coming up last month, and he wanted to do something different, something exciting for them, for the country, and especially the National Health Service, which in England was suffering because of the COVID virus, and they were running out of money, and he thought, what can I do? And he decided he was going to walk in his garden. It's about 82 feet in his backyard, and he was going to do 100 laps. 10 laps at a time, take a day break, and then come back and do it. And he thought, well, I'm going to do that. Maybe I can raise some money. And what I love about the story is not that he walked and decided to do this, is that he decided to learn how to do social media. And he learned how to do that, and so he put this out there, and he was trying to raise £1,000 for the National Health Service. It was about $1,250 in our money. And then he decided the day he was going to walk, and he was using his walker, and he was going to go out and do this walk. And he put it on social media, and almost before the time was up, he had raised all the money he had said he was going to raise. But he already done his 10 laps, and so he would go out there day after day. And this went viral, and people were talking about it. It made the national and the world news, and people learned about Captain Tom Moore and his walk. He actually finished earlier than he thought he was going to finish, and he didn't raise just $1,000 or £1,000. He raised over $40 million. And people looked and go, wow. And I heard this week that he was just decided, it was just decided they were going to knight him. He's going to be Sir Tom Moore. Well, we don't necessarily know that we'll get recognized for what we'll do. But the thing I love about this story is it's never too late to start. That God may have a different direction for you than what you expected. When we come out of this virus, we have kids that are now behind in school, and they were already behind, and now they're going to start the next school year further behind. We're going to need mentors. We're going to need tutors. We're going to need people that can pour into them. You have grandkids that need your help. You have nieces and nephews. You have a community that needs your help. There's all kinds of things you can do if you'll just go to God and say, what is it you want me to do? And maybe this is a time to repurpose your life. Elijah was on the top of the world, the top of the mountain, mountaintop experience, and then he hit bottom, and he got lost a little bit, and he just wanted it all to be over. But by the time that God was done with him, he was repurposed and reliving a life that God had for him. Amazing turnaround. And maybe God wants to do the same thing in your world, where all you need is a little bit of rest, a little bit of reconnection, and maybe a little bit of repurposing, and you're going to be taking off and becoming more than a conqueror again. If you know Jesus, you're in a great spot for this. Just wait on him to show you. Just spend your time in prayer. Just spend your time in your quiet time. Continue to worship him. Continue to seek him through his word. But if you don't know Jesus, maybe today is that day. Maybe the day is the day that you're going to give your life to him. Because you know without him, you don't have purpose. Your life is just kind of wandering, but you want to live for something bigger than yourself. And you want to know that you're going to be okay because you have a shepherd who's going to take care of you and restore your soul. I want to pray for us now. And as I pray, just pray where you are. Just lift up your prayer to God. Maybe you need to be like Elijah and say, God, I'm done. I'm done, and I need you to show up. Or maybe you're at a place where you just say, God, I just need you. Just change it a little bit. Just show up. Just let me know you're there. And let's just pray for God to do that in our lives. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for these stories in your word that are so true and so meaningful. And you have them there for us to learn from. And you have them there to remind us about what kind of God you are. A God who does meet us right where we are. A God who sent his son into the world to know what it means to live and to show us our need for salvation, our need for forgiveness. And in Christ, we can find that. Father, I pray for each one of us to live today full of a life full of meaning and purpose, a life full of peace, a life full of strength for those that are tired. I pray, Father God, that you'll lead us through as only you can. And for anyone that's at that point where they need to give their life to Jesus in the days today, I pray, Father, they'll take that step of faith and they will see you do amazing things in their life as you walk them through these challenges of life. And I pray, Father God, that you just help each one of us to be connected, to really support one another, encourage one another, and just continue to grow your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.